Boy, somebody had a good coffee break. Why don't you turn to 2 Corinthians, and we'll begin by reading what is currently one of my favorite verses. My favorite verse changes from time to time. And it's my prayer this morning that something that we go to in God's Word will touch your heart. And we were talking in our hour of power this morning. It's not so much a particular fact of the Scripture that will change your life. What will change your life is God touching your heart with a particular truth from His Word. And sometimes you'll get that truth buried within, say, you're listening to a teaching, and God will just touch your heart with something that might even be unrelated to what the person is teaching about. But God opens your eyes and your heart to a particular verse. We're going to be looking at the renewed mind and victory through Christ. But this verse here in 2 Corinthians 1 is just fantastic. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And I want to read it to you in the English Standard Version, which is a fairly recent translation of the Scriptures. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 1. I didn't tell you that? Good thing I read it then, wasn't it? So if I forget to tell you or you can't find it, I'll read them out loud. So 2 Corinthians 1:20. Well, now that you've turned there, I'm going to read it from a different version, so it won't be there for you. Listen to the way they translate the first part of this verse. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. All the promises of God find their yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no yes. That is a tremendous truth. And we've been looking at a lot of promises of victory. They all find their yes in Jesus Christ. We have discovered that when we pursue victory on our own strength, we don't find our yes and amen. But we can find our yes and amen in Christ. And I want to look at this morning what causes us to miss the yes and amen. I mean, this is a wonderful verse of Scripture. You can calligraphy it, put it up over your kitchen table. But how do we get there? Because if you're like me, not every day is yes and amen. Okay? And yet, there's a promise that they can be. And in my experience over the years, I have discovered that when I or somebody comes to me with a problem, they usually come with what you might call a presenting problem. What's giving them pain? Maybe they have anger, maybe they have resentment, whatever it might be. They might have marriage problems or problems with their children. They have a presenting problem. That's where it hurts. But that presenting problem is seldom the cause of their difficulties. And what I have seen is that most of the problems that people endure when they're going through a valley of life that's not yes and amen, they are caused not by the issues that are hurting them, but by issues of fellowship with God, issues of their identity in Christ, or simply being ignorant of or ignoring the spiritual battle that rages around us. And all three of those issues can be addressed in what God calls in His Word the renewed mind. You know, part of the truth about our circumstances in life is that we are in a battle. I think Bruce made that abundantly clear yesterday. And we are in a battle. Our foe is ultimately already defeated in Christ. But even though he is defeated, he still fights on. And the battlefield is in the mind. The battlefield is in the mind, and the weapons that are used against you are thoughts. They are thoughts that rise themselves against the knowledge of God. You know how else you could define these thoughts? They are lies. What is defeating you in life, by and large, are lies. Not lies that you tell, lies that you believe. And when we believe a lie, either about ourselves, about others, or even about God, it puts us in slavery and defeat. Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If it's the truth that makes you free, what is it that is holding you in bondage? It's lies. Again, not lies that you tell. Those are obvious. You know when you're telling a lie. You don't always, you almost never know, or you don't know by definition, when you are believing a lie. Because we don't voluntarily believe anything that we think is untrue. If we believe it, we think it's true. But if it's not, we get into bondage. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Our weapon against the lies that defeat us in this battle is the truth that makes men and women free. And we utilize this truth in what the Bible calls the renewed mind. And the theme verse for the renewed mind is Romans 12:2. I'm going to read this to you from the New International Version. It's just a little bit different than what you're looking at. I use a number of different versions when I teach, and I use a number of different versions when I read the scriptures on my own. This year, by the way, is the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible, which was a remarkable achievement, and it is still the most influential English book ever published. One of the reasons that the King James Version is still of value today is because it was purposefully translated with the idea that it would be neutral theologically, because there were problems in England at that time between people who were still Roman Catholic or had those leanings, people who were Anglican or Church of England, people who were what they call the Puritans. You've heard of them. Well, they started not in America. They started in Great Britain, and they were trying to get back to the pure doctrine of God's Word, and they had differences, and they wanted a translation that was neutral theologically but represented what the Scriptures actually said. They did the best they could. Their achievement was remarkable. But their achievement was really a revision of two earlier Bibles, one called the Geneva Bible. Guess what country it was translated in? Many English Protestants had to go into exile because of the Catholic monarch, Mary, Queen of Scots. They had to go into exile. One of the places they went into exile was Switzerland, and they translated a Bible into English there. It was called the Geneva Bible. Another Bible in English was called the Bishop's Bible. Guess who had a hand in that translation? Bishops of what were then the Anglican Church. The King James Version is, for the most part, a revision of those two. People don't recognize this. Those people who think only the King James Version, that was inspired by God, well, it wasn't. It was itself a revision. And there have been Bibles published since then in English that add new light to the Scriptures for a variety of reasons. But that's a side note. That is not what the teaching's about. Romans 12:2, for all to tell you that I'm reading this verse from the New International Version. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's what I like about this particular translation, because it conveys the idea that God already understands we've been conforming and that we need to put a stop to something. The renewed mind is about both putting a stop to something and starting something new. You might have heard the phrase put off and put on. That concept flows through every verse in the New Testament that speaks of the renewed mind. And did you know the renewed mind? The Jews were never told to renew their minds. We'll see why when we get into the book of Ephesians. Well, I'll tell you now in case I forget to point it out. Because I do that because I could go off on a tangent. Go off on a tear somewhere else. But the renewed mind is putting on the new creation. Did the Jews have a new creation? No, they didn't. That's why the Jews had a law which could conform the externals. We don't conform the externals. We transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. That's how we can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now you can turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 gives us one of the great sections on how to renew your mind and what the renewed mind is all about. God has given us a way to escape the jaws of defeat and to bring us to victory. He has done the hard work. Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting. But there is something for us to do. In Ephesians 4:21, it says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, your old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The renewed mind has two parts. You've got to do both. Wouldn't it be convenient if there was a delete button for our brains? Oh, good, I'm a Christian now. Delete all. Wouldn't that make it... You control A, it selects the entire document. That's what I would do with my brain. Control A, delete. Unfortunately, there is not a delete button for your brains. God does not take control of you. God has given us something to do. He set before us a way whereby we can benefit from all that Jesus Christ has done. But it has two parts. And many times I have seen believers pursue only one of those two parts. They are desperate to put on the scriptures, desperate to learn more. They read their Bibles every day. They go to every fellowship they can. They listen to tapes. They listen to classes. Anywhere to learn. And they do learn. But yet they're still defeated in areas of their life. Well, why is that? Well, one of the reasons is the renewed mind is not just learn. It's two parts. We have to put off and we have to put on. And many times we don't exert much effort in putting off. And these terms, put on and put off, are the same terms you would see in taking off soiled clothes and putting on clean clothes. I think it's a very vivid image. We need to consciously put off the old man, the thinking patterns that we have developed, that we have built up in our minds and lives through the course of an amount of time where we were living independent of God. Basically, before you came to Christ, before you came to God's Word, you were living independent of God because you were conformed to a world that was designed by the adversary to take you away from God. Pretty much any temptation you get to sin is a temptation to live independent of God, which is exactly what the adversary wanted to be. He tempts you with what are, in essence, his own twisted desires. But we don't get fulfillment in life by being independent of God. You were not designed to live any part of your life independent of God. And you need to understand that this is by design. The reason life works so much better when you are endeavoring to walk with God is because it was designed to work that way. You can muddle along perhaps here and there on your own, but you were designed to be fully dependent upon God, not to be sufficient in yourself. In America, we worship independence. It is idolatry. Now, I'm all in favor of having the freedom to worship God. Don't get me wrong. I take very little interest in politics, though, other than to pray for those who are in power. And the reason I pray for them is so that we could lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. That's why we pray for them. But, you know, the idea of the self-made man, that's the American ideal. And we baptize it, put a veneer of Christianity over it, and still, in essence, live our lives independent of God, even in the churches. It brings defeat. We need to consciously put off the old man. It will not fade away on its own. We need to consciously put it off. The idea that I can just keep learning new things from the Bible, unless I put off the lies and first discover what they are, I'm going to continue to go about living my life in the same way that has brought me defeat, frustration, and bondage. And I've seen, believe, people have been in the Word 30 years. They still struggle with the same things. What more can I learn? Do you have any teachings I could listen to on this subject? Well, listen to a teaching on the renewed mind. Oh, but I know about that already. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, you don't have to turn there, but put it down in your notes. This is a short and simple verse. Prove all things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Very few people do this at all, except for obvious external things, like lying or stealing. Okay, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing that anymore. But the most important aspects of the renewed mind are not in things you do with your hands. The most serious issues of the renewed mind are how you think about God and yourself and others according to the Word. Now, it's good to put away stealing. That's a good thing. But how about putting away the idea that you're worthless, that you're the sum total of your mistakes, that I screwed up last week and therefore I'm just going to have to endure pain for a while. See, we believe a lot of lies about ourselves that we've picked up. People have screamed them at us throughout our life. We need to take our identity from the Scriptures. We have for too long taken our identity from the world. That is conforming to this world. You know, to say that you don't conform to this world means to quit stealing and quit lying. Well, yeah. But you know something? You knew that before you got in the Word. You don't need Scriptures to know it's wrong to steal, kill, and lie. You might do it anyway, but you know it's wrong. But then there's subtle things that you pick up about yourself that hold you back in life. That's what we want to get away from. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. So remember I said that the issues that people have, their fellowship with God issues, their identity in Christ issues, and they're not recognizing the spiritual battle issues. And we want to do all of them. If you prove all things, then you will discover certain things that you will hold on to and certain things that need to be jettisoned. And those things that need to be jettisoned are often things the Bible calls sin. And in 1 John 1:9, here's what we do with sin. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and put us on a short probationary period in order to see if we were sincere. Doesn't say that, does it? He is faithful. It is just in God's sight to forgive your sins. That is justice to God. Why is that justice? Why don't I have to pay for my sins? Because somebody else already did. And when you confess your sins, people don't understand what that means. Confess doesn't mean you say, I'm sorry. What confess means is to say, I did it. It's what politicians can't say. You ever want to watch it? I mean, they should do this as monologues. Let's put up politician apologies. I mean, they can never get to the place where they say, I did it. And who are you hiding from in God anyway? Yeah, God, I was wrong. And I'm sorry, but I was wrong. And then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have been cleansed from unrighteousness, why do you still think of yourself as a failure if you have been cleansed from unrighteousness? If you've been cleansed, you're clean. But we don't get that. You know, we have thoughts in our minds, thoughts of inferiority, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of anger. I would venture to say that's what's trapping most of us a lot more than I lie too much. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Christ has set us free and brought us victory. Nothing can change that in eternity, but we can lose the victory that's been purchased for us in our day-to-day life. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read a couple of verses on the renewed mind that are very different than what most people think about the renewed mind. Ephesians 4:31. Okay. Here it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That verse is a put-off verse. But you will not be successful in life if you just say, "I need to stop being bitter." Well, yes, you do. But what are you replacing it with? How do you stop being bitter? That's very difficult for people. But God identifies bitterness here. How do I stop being bitter over the hurts that I have endured? Because nothing can change the past. And I know that some of you have gone through some horrific things in your life. I am sorry that you went through those things. God is sorry that you went through those things. But God has a way out. The way out is not to deny that you went through those things. That's not going to be very helpful. How do I get rid of bitterness? How do I get rid of wrath and anger? Well, verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." If you really want to get over bitterness, you have to learn how to forgive. And to forgive in God's word means one of two things. There are two basic words used. One word means to offer grace. At times I've had people tell me that I can't forgive him, you know. He's not sorry. He doesn't deserve it. Well, duh, that's the whole point of grace. that's not a newsflash. Did you deserve Christ to hang on a tree for you? Did you deserve that? No. You know, it's interesting. When it comes to our own mistakes in life, what we want is mercy and understanding. When it comes to the mistakes of others, we want justice. Well, from God's point of view, when you confess your sins, it is justice to forgive you your sins. That's justice. The point of the renewed mind is to live in the light of the victory we have in Christ does require something of us. The victory has been purchased. We have to pick it up and use it. And we do that primarily through the renewed mind, which is spoken of numerous times in the New Testament. Not always identified as renewed mind, but you'll see lots of places where you're putting off and putting on. And that's what it's talking about. We go to God's Word to understand what we are to put off and what we are to put on. And that brings me to Ephesians chapter 6. Carol? Oh, I didn't give you the other one. Thank you, Carol. Offering grace is one. The other is to let go to God. To let go. What we often do is we hold on to our hurt. We rehearse it. You ever hear the phrase nurse a grudge? Nursing is what you do with a little baby. Grudges are not something to be encouraged and nursed. They are something to be put off. We leave matters of final justice to God. "Vengeance is mine," saith the Lord, "I will repay." We are commanded to forgive. It's not even a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's a great subject in God's Word. It is a liberating subject in God's Word, and it is missed. Unforgiveness is just a plague upon the Christian community. An absolute plague. It divides churches, it divides families, it divides fellowships. And it can be so easily handled. And by the way, forgiveness is something that is primarily between you and God. You forgive before God. You might not. When it talks about forgiveness in some of the records in the Gospels, you know, if you go to God to offer a sacrifice at the altar, and there you know that your brother has aught against you, or you go and forgive him. You forgive before God, right there. We have misconceptions about this idea of forgiveness, and most of them are because we want justice. God wants justice too, but he is the only one in a position to actually bring about justice. And by the end of the book of Revelation, he will. Don't worry about that. Ephesians chapter 6. These are some difficult verses. And when I talk about difficult verses, there's two kinds of difficult verses. There are verses that might be difficult to understand. If a verse is difficult to understand, we apply the keys to the word's interpretation that we've learned. But these verses are not difficult to understand. They just are difficult for people to really believe. I understand what it says, but to really do it and believe it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Well, who have you been strong in prior to this? Yourself. And in the power of his might. Verse 10. I keep not telling you where to go, don't I? Ephesians 6:10. As I start reading, some of you are scanning down. Where is he? Ephesians 6:10. Well, I'll read that again so you can read with me. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. This is the renewed mind. The renewed mind has two parts, to put off, to put on. This is the put on part. And God gives us a tremendous analogy here that people miss. You ever hear the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? Sometimes when people read about the armor of God, they get so tied up in the pieces of armor that they miss the point of the analogy. But we're going to try to do that, not to do that. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The reason that that's so difficult to believe is because we live in a physical world, and your boss is flesh and blood, and your spouse is flesh and blood, and that's who you think you're having problems with. And you don't realize the puppet master behind the scenes who is orchestrating the whole thing. You know, it's sort of like the Cold War. Some of us lived through it. Some of you studied it in history books. But the Cold War, say Vietnam, we weren't fighting really the Vietnamese. Behind them were the Soviets and the Chinese. So if you thought you were just fighting Vietnam, well, why didn't we win immediately? They're a dinky little country. But you see, if you didn't recognize what was really going on, you wouldn't understand the situation. Behind the scenes of the flesh and blood that we deal with are spiritual powers. The rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The reason we need to put on the armor of God is because we are in a battle. And nobody can win a battle by trying to stay neutral. Bruce read us from James 4 yesterday. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't resist him, he is under no obligation to flee. And believe me, he won't. He flees when you resist him. Attempted neutrality will not work. People don't understand neutrality. You know, that you might look and say, you know, Switzerland's been fairly successful as a neutral country. Let me tell you why. Let me go back to World War II. Both Switzerland and Belgium declared their neutrality in 1939. We don't want to be a part of this war. We're not going to take sides. You guys, we're just going to stand back here. Well, Belgium was overrun in May 1940. Switzerland wasn't. Why wasn't Switzerland overrun? not because they declared neutrality. They were not overwhelmed because they had made their entire country one big fort. Now, they had the advantage of geography. Belgium is in a part of Europe called the Lowlands, whereas, you know, the Swiss Alps, they are anything but the Lowlands. But Hitler did not respect the neutrality of Belgium and Switzerland. He just couldn't do anything about Switzerland. Hitler did not respect Belgium's declaration of neutrality. The devil will not respect your declaration of neutrality. So trying to remove yourself from the spiritual battle will not work. That's not something, well, my fellowship leader does that. I'm just going to come to fellowship and drink coffee and be blessed. No, we have to put on the armor of God. It sounds promising, but what is the armor of God? You might expect God to go in a direction like telling us about the power of the Holy Spirit, how you can cast out devils, how you can, you know, defeat the enemy. You might think several exciting things like that, none of which you're going to find in this section. God goes in what I would consider a very unexpected direction, but a very important and overlooked one. Let's see how he describes this armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now this analogy would be readily understandable to first century Christians. They saw Roman soldiers all the time. It's not like here in America. We don't see fully outfitted soldiers walking our streets all the time. Well, you did in Rome. You did in the Roman Empire. But the armor of God is not about the manifestations of the Spirit. It is about the renewed mind. It is about what you are going to put on. You know, often people speak of the renewed mind in terms of confronting behaviors that they would like to change. For example, lying, stealing, or hurtful speech. And these are all things that we should put off, but what do we put on in their place? We put on Christ. We identify with Christ. He identified with us on the cross, dying for our sins. We can now identify with Him. Or we can continue to identify with our own achievements and failures. Are you going to live based on who you were in Adam or who you are in Christ? This is what the renewed mind is really all about. The renewed mind is about putting on Christ. It is about that much more than it is I shouldn't lie anymore. The greatest areas of the renewed mind are not about things you might be doing, but about things that Christ has already done for us and in us. You know, it says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've got to think like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew who He was. Do you? Do you know who you are in Christ? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? All too often we see a reflection of our failures. We see a reflection of our weaknesses. That's not what God sees when He looks at you. And His viewpoint trumps your viewpoint. Who's right? You or God? In Ephesians, these pieces of armor are all about some aspect of who you are or what you have because of Christ. That's what the armor is about. The important point is not the piece of armor itself, but what it actually represents. The armor is just an analogy to carry us forward to understand how to put on Christ. The first piece of armor listed is the belt of truth. If lies hold you in bondage, what sets you free? Truth. The first thing you need to put on is truth. We get that from God's Word. The next thing is something that you are in Christ, righteous, the breastplate of righteousness. The problem with believing you're righteous is you know too much about yourself. See, I have an easier time thinking, looking at you and saying you're righteous, because the principal thing I know about you is that you're born again. So it's very easy for me to look at you and say, Andrew's righteous. And Andrew can sit there thinking, but he doesn't know me very well. And that's true. But God does know him very well. And what does God say Andrew is?
Righteous.
Stop telling God that he doesn't know what he's talking about. If you are not steadfast in your opinion of yourself from the scriptures, then the accuser is going to come along and remind you of everything you've ever done. Well, when he tries to remind me of what I've done, yeah. But the guy that did that, he's dead. The guy who did that, he's dead. He's gone. Doesn't matter. That's been forgiven. That's like reminding me I had the chicken pox. Yeah. Has absolutely no bearing on my life today. Had the chicken pox in eighth grade. Your past should be the same way to you. Absolutely no bearing. It's been forgiven. And then we need to be prepared with the gospel of peace. Boy, the church needs more of this. We bring peace with the gospel, not anger, not bitterness, not self-righteousness. It is so sad that many Christians are virtually at war with other Christians. This is not new to the 21st century. More Christians were killed by other Christians in the 3rd century fighting over who Jesus was than the Romans put to death in the 300 years before that. Of course, we all hear about the Romans executing Christians, and they did. Perhaps 2,000 or 3,000 over the course of 300 years. We sweep under the rug the wars of Christians against themselves. We need to climb out of our doctrinal bunkers and recognize that my fellowship with you is not because I share 100% of the same knowledge of God's Word as you do, although we do share a great knowledge of God's Word. My fellowship with you is based on our shared heritage as sons and daughters of God. This is an important piece of armor, one that the church needs. Then we get the shield of faith. Biblically, faith is what you believe accurately from God's Word. The more you believe, the bigger your shield. Now, what do you want, a short little 18-inch small pizza diameter shield? Or do you want a huge, big shield? Roman shields could be 5 feet long, 2.5 feet wide. That was protection. And a shield is movable. And it blocks the fiery darts of the devil. Those darts are thoughts. And God wants you to stop them before they hit your brain, which is their target. That's how the devil works against you. The helmet of salvation. Now, you might look at this in one respect. And for those of us in this room, once you've spoken in tongues, it would be unusual for you to question whether you're saved or not. You would have to drift a long way from God in order to question that you've been saved. And yet there's this verse still here. Do we really live as though we're saved? Or do we live as though we still have to contribute something to our salvation? Salvation and wholeness, your righteousness, all these things are what you put on in Christ. They've already been paid for. You know, when it comes to the spiritual battle, most Christians are just completely unaware of it going on around them. But we have a helmet that protects our head. It's good to protect breastplate of righteousness, protect your vital organs, protect your head. We've got a shield. We've also got a sword. A sword is an offensive weapon. Most Christians are unaware of the spiritual battle. Of those who know it exists, they are trying to avoid it. Of those who know they can't avoid it, they are generally in a defensive posture. What can I do to protect myself? rather than what can I do to advance God's kingdom. We are in a spiritual battle. Our role is not to hide in a secure bunker. We are given defensive armor, but that's not all we're given. We're given the sword of the Spirit. Our goal is not to stay safe from the adversary. Our goal is to empty his kingdom. And that's what we want to take up the armor to do. You know, the close of this section, we'll start reading in verse 18, the close of this section shows that what Paul had in mind after talking about the armor of God was the movement of God's word. That was what he had in view. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that I may be safe from attack. No. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, the armor of God is really a part of the greater category in God's word that we refer to as sonship rights. And your sonship rights include everything you have because of the finished work of Christ. I'm not sure anybody has given a full catalog of your sonship rights. Once you understand the concept, you'll see them all through the scriptures. One of the central keys to throwing off the chains that have held you back in life is to recognize who you are in Christ. When you were born again, you received God's gift of Holy Spirit. You received a new identity. No longer are you a prisoner of your past. No longer are you defined by your failures. The old nature has been crucified, but the new nature must be put on. If you don't put on the armor of God, you will continue to see yourself as you were in Adam, which is just what the devil wants you to do. Defeated instead of who you are in Christ. And I want to close. I gave you each here some renewed mind truths about you. I cut it in half. It'll probably fit in most of your Bibles. And I want you, and I purposefully put them in first person. These are something you're going to put on. And I would like us, we're not going to read the verse references, but I'd like us to read these declarations out loud together, okay? I am God's child now. I am loved unconditionally by God. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am righteous through Christ. I am free from any condemnation. I am no longer a sinner. I am now a saint. Let's just stop there for a second. Too many Christians in the world today identify themselves as sinners. We're all just broken and sinful. No! You are sanctified. Isn't that what Jim taught on earlier in the week? You are not a sinner. That is not how God defines you. That is a lie. That is a lie. And some of you believe that. See what I say? It's what holds you in bondage are lies that you believe. Subtle lies about yourself. We'll read that one again. It's good. I am no longer a sinner. I am now a saint. I am complete in Christ, lacking nothing. I am a citizen of heaven. I am seated with Christ and share his authority. I am God's dwelling place. I can do all things through Christ. I am an ambassador for Christ. Greater is he that is with me than he that is in the world. And let's say again, if God be for us, who can be against us? Absolutely no one. You have been made a new creature in Christ. What we need to do now is to put that on in our minds. Look in the mirror and see this person, because that's who you really are. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all that you've done within us and for us. Thank you, God, that we can put on this wonderful armor, that we can see ourselves strong in Christ, that we can see ourselves victorious in every situation, that we can know we are forgiven and cleansed. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right.